Hi there, it's Joseph Shepherd.
And it's your girl, Miss Laganja Estranja. And welcome to
Queening Out. Queening
Out. Okay, there was a little bit of a delay, but I think we got it. This is the podcast where Joseph and I break down each and every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 8 in our very own way.
Yes, and you know, normally we have episodes Monday and Tuesday, but Laganja, you are now on tour, work the world. Where are you currently?
I am coming to you from somewhere in North Carolina.
Wow.
I don't remember the city.
So how many performances have you had so far?
Yeah, so we've had 3 performances so far, but it's been 9 days back to back to back. So today was our first day off, and needless to say, I slept most of the day, which was really nice.
As you should have. Did you do anything when you got up?
I did. I went to dinner with one of the dancers and choreographers, Ryan. We went to Cheesecake Factory, had some lovely pasta, and then we went to see The Little Mermaid, where I fell asleep again and took a lovely nap.
Was it not your cup of tea, or were you just tired?
I'm going to go ahead and say, you know, I've entered my adult era, and as visually stunning as the movie was and as wonderful as Miss Ariel was, you know, for me, I just feel like it's a kid's movie.
Yeah.
And I just feel like even Ryan was like, he was like, I guess I've reached that dad age, right? Where like, I just don't enjoy this unless I had a kid that was enjoying it alongside of me. So yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty, but it just wasn't my cup of tea. I got to admit, no, the nap was much better. And what was even crazier is as we were going to see the movie, we're like checking out, you know, getting candy and popcorn and all that stuff. And, you know, I'm making small talk with the woman checking us out. And she's like, you're going to see Little Mermaid. And I'm like, how did you know? And she's like, oh, well, you give off very Ursula vibes. I'm like, I'm standing here with red hair and a blue dress and I'm giving Ursula vibes. Excuse me. It was the read of the century. I died. I was literally face cracked.
Well, I mean, you probably would have done a better job than Melissa McCarthy as Ursula if you had to, you know?
You know, I didn't think she was bad. I actually enjoyed her performance. But yeah, again, like I said, for me, it just didn't really speak to my soul, the movie. No.
Well, we have some speaking to our souls because we got some emails. If you would like to let us know your thoughts and opinions on All Stars 8, or if you just want to ask us some questions, be sure to send us an email. And that is at laganjoes@gmail.com.
I also want to remind people that they can leave us a voicemail at 805-624-5402, and we may even play it back on the show. So definitely send us some emails, leave us some voicemails. We love hearing from each and every one of you. So without further ado, let's check out our first email from Mimi, who says, just wanted to drop a quick thank you. Your tips were a lifesaver. I clacked my fan all day and night. Oh, this is our friend Mimi from Pride. She says, lots of water and SPF. I had an amazing first Pride. Thank you again for sharing your tips. Mimi near New Orleans, and sent us this fabulous photo with this gorgeous floral crown and rainbow star makeup. So gorgeous. And I'm so glad you had so much fun and we were able to give you some helpful tips.
Next up, we have a message from Corey. Hi, Shepherd and Laganja. I'm Corey, an older gay. I've fallen on hard times, so it's nice to watch Queening Out. This is my first time watching. It's actually more entertaining than All Stars 8. Thank you for bringing me some joy and laughter. I wish I had some friends to enjoy watching your show or even All Stars with. I don't have a gay support system around me of at least people that really get me. I love and appreciate my family and some of the friends I do have, but I just feel so isolated. I'm not really feeling the gay scene around here, but how does one make gay friends in LA? Especially when we turn everything into a hookup opportunity. Nothing wrong with that, but it's just not what I'm looking for. Corey.
Wow, I feel that. I definitely feel that. I mean, I think making friends, period, in LA is difficult, whether they're gay or not. So my best advice is to be yourself. I feel like that's so cheesy, but it's so true. Like when you are your most authentic self and you allow your light to just radiate from within, I think you attract like-minded people. I myself keep a very close-knit circle. I really have like two best friends in LA that I pretty much do everything with. And that's not to say I don't have other friends or don't mix and mingle, but I think when you really find a group of individuals that works for you, it's also super important to foster that and to, like put nutrients on it and make those friendships grow, because it is hard. It's very hard to find friends, and I can only imagine as a gay male when there are these apps like Tinders and Grindrs, and even if you put friends on there, we all know most people are wanting to hook up. So I imagine it is a difficult road to navigate, and I just want to say to, yeah, continue being yourself, and that you will find the right people as long as you're being your best self.
Yeah, and to go off of that too, I think that as we do get older, we do have the issues of finding more friends and finding them, especially in LA, like you mentioned. And I will say, for me, the best thing that I have done is I started doing improv recently and taking improv classes, and I have met so many more people there that have a similar interest that I know they don't want to hook up, that we're just literally having a good time. We can talk about Drag Race, we can go get a drink. And that has been really beneficial to me, I would say, the past few months. So maybe even if it's not an improv, maybe it's finding like a league.
Book club.
Book club, yeah, it's kind of like finding your hobby. Find the hobby that you absolutely love, and then go and search and see if there's any clubs or anything that you can be a part of, because it is hard if you go just to gay bars or gay clubs. Everybody just wants to hook up, or everybody just doesn't really necessarily want to make a friend. So it's kind of branching out and finding that little extra thing that will make you happy if you're doing it yourself, but also can spur some friends.
Absolutely. I think that's great advice for sure.
Next up, we have a voicemail.
Hey, Laganja and Shepherd. Love the pod. Been a fan for a while, both of you. Yes, Shepherd, if you can add more dancers to Sissy That Talk Show. But my question is for Laganja. Seeing your trans journey, I was wondering if that brought you closer with Gia, and if we'll be seeing another TTTMT Trans Teen Too Much tour. And also, I was wondering, when are you gonna have the crossbody bag coming out again? I have the palette, but I couldn't get the bag. I'll buy it for triple the price, if that helps. But I love you guys so much, and I hope you have an amazing day, both of you. Thank you.
Well, that was very sweet. Thank you so much. I hear you loud and clear on this. But as much as Trixie joked that I was the new CEO of Trixie Cosmetics, I'm really not. There's really not much I can do except if all of you just keep asking and tweeting and showing interest, then I think they might restock those. But I do know they were expensive to make. That's why they only did a small quantity. So I don't honestly foresee a restock in the future, but that's not to say if you guys don't all band together and start some petition or something, it wouldn't bring them back. So I encourage you to keep trying to get those bags, as I too would love to see them back. As far as Team Too Much, I would say I don't think there is a trans Team Too Much tour in our future. I think this for many reasons, mostly that, Gia has pretty much moved on from performing as a RuPaul's Drag Race girl. She's much more interested in the beauty world and the influencing world. She's now working on her OnlyFans and creating nice spicy content for all of you. So I think performing for her just doesn't speak to her heart as much anymore. And I just don't see us getting together to do a tour together, at least right now. Doesn't mean that down the future that wouldn't happen, but I just think right now, she's on her own path to finding her happiness, and it doesn't really include performing in gay bars, which I totally understand and respect as someone who right now is on Work the World and getting to work at theaters. I feel like I'm in a much better space as well. Gay bars are great, but after doing it for a decade, it gets exhausting. And I think as trans individuals, while we love queer spaces, a lot of times, we do want to be in a straight atmosphere. We do want to be around men who are interested in women, and you don't find that often at a gay club. So, but as far as did my transition bring us closer together, I would say, honestly, no. I don't think it really brought us closer together. I think if anything, it sort of brought us further apart just because we're very different trans women and we're very different in our approach to this journey. But the thing about Gia and I is no matter where we are in our life, there's always been love for one another. I think with Alyssa and I, there was sort of this like seniority. And she came before me and she was my drag mother. But, with Gia, we're from the same season. We were both kind of, growing up together in the same way. So there's always been that commonality between the two of us. So even if we don't always talk or we're best buds, we really do love each other and root for each other and want each other to be happy in our own right. So, I'm so grateful we got to travel the world as Team Too Much. It was so much fun. We have so many stories that will stay locked up in the vault forever. But I am also happy to say that, I think we've both grown past that and we've both become individuals looking for something else.
That makes sense. Do you ever get nervous when it comes down to people asking you questions about like other sisters and stuff? Like, when it is Alyssa Edwards or Gia or, Shangela or something, do you ever feel like there's certain things that you don't want to say just to like stir up crap? Like, do you ever hold back?
I think that's absolutely true. As someone who's been media trained now for many years, of course, I'm going to try to always give an answer that is honest and open, but that also doesn't just spill my tea because I don't think just because you're an audience viewer, you should know everything about me. I think I have some right as a human being to, have things that are not out there. But I think I do always try to be open and honest, and I do always try to answer the question with, the reality of the fact. I just may say it in a nicer way than I might be saying to my best friend at a bar at midnight,
Well, thank you so much for the voicemail. Hopefully, that answers your questions. And we're going to take a break. But when we get back, we're going to get into this episode 7 of All Stars 8, the Drama Mama.
Ooh, get ready. All right, you guys, we are back. So let us jump into episode 7 of All Stars 8. Woo, this week was getting hot, girl. What did you think?
So the girls, they all get their improv challenge, and it's basically like a Forensic Files, what happened to Little Pound Cake? I wonder if Alaska got any royalties. The answer is no,
No.
because she signed it away when she made that on RuPaul's Drag Race. So it was the mystery of where Little Pound Cake went. The girls are trying to choose their roles. And Candy and Alexis got into it over a roll, and Alexis once again cries. She's feeling her oats. And let me just
I
say,
love it.
I absolutely love it. I love every moment that Alexis has because she brings it to the camera. Like, sure, people can get mad at her for, expressing her emotions or think that she's a certain type of way, but I love it. It's just real. And I think that we haven't really seen a lot of real when it comes down to Drag Race in the past few seasons. And so it's nice to have somebody who's crying and somebody who's a little emotional. But she put herself together. She went outside. She took a moment. But during that time, Kahana then tried to leave and she said she was done with it because she didn't think she was going to do well in the improv challenge and she didn't feel up for it and she didn't like the energy in this room. So I really want to know what the energy in that room is. Heidi left, Kahana wants to leave. There's some toxic energy in
I
there.
mean, at the end of the day, when people are like, why won't you go back to All Stars? I'm like, baby, the proof is in the pudding. Are you watching the season? It's just so intense. It's like a pressure cooker. And, I think, as much as we kind of like joke about how we love seeing Alexis cry, it's not that we love seeing her cry. It's that we love being able to connect with someone mm-hmm. who will give us vulnerability. I mean, there's a reason I cried every episode, and that's because there was so much pressure and there was so much intensity in that room. I mean, we would film some days 14 hours in a row. So I totally understand when the girls want to leave. I totally understand when the pressure is too much and they have to cry. And, you know, I appreciated that they put their arms around Alexis and were like, just get it out, instead of making fun of her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, Candy was stirring it up, whether she says she was, you know, was or not, she was. And her way of attacking an issue is much more, you know, in your mm-hmm. face. And it is with a lot more gusto, whereas Alexis is someone to sit back and to try to, you know, kind of do with what I just did a second ago with that question, like try to answer it nicely and not throw anyone under the bus. although she is known for being the bus thrower. So I definitely, you know, thought it was a very spicy episode, and I felt like we needed that this season because we've yet to see these girls really be real and really let us into what they're feeling and what's going on in the workroom. And, you know, I can't imagine what Kahana was going through, because obviously she's had such amazing looks and has been doing so well in the runway, but to keep failing challenge after challenge, I think that would get to anyone.
Oh yeah. And then to have RuPaul come in, this was the moment that I was gagging at, because I was just thinking, RuPaul probably came in that morning. He did his hello, hello, hello. And then he probably went back there, was taking off his clothes, getting ready to go home. And then it was, wait, hold up. Like somebody's trying to leave. And RuPaul came in to get them all together. What did you think of that?
I mean, it was definitely a first of its kind. We have yet to see a moment like this. But I think at that point, all hell was breaking loose and production was like, look, we need you to step in or we are going to lose the show. Because, I don't think Rue is one to step in and meddle with the drama. I think Rue has learned over the years that that's part of his TV show, but he's not a part of that. That's the girls. He keeps himself separate, I'm sure, so he can, you know, exist emotionally. And I totally understand the removal from that. But I think in that moment, most likely he realized that he did really need to step in, and he did need to really emphasize to these girls that this is supposed to be about fun. And I know we're putting you through a lot, but you've got to relax, you got to breathe, and you've got to not take this so serious.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing he said that really stuck with me is, feelings are not facts. Sometimes yeah. My feelings are facts, though.
I was about to say, I don't know that I agree, but sure, if it works for you.
I'm like, a lot of times my feelings are actually facts, whether you like to believe it or not. So,
yeah.
That was, you know, a first-time moment for RuPaul, but one of the moments that happened after that I loved was Kahana asking Jimbo for advice, Jimbo giving advice, kind of being a little bit of a motherly figure, and Kahana actually just... I actually thought Kahana did great in the challenge. I thought she did great for what it was worth. She chalked herself up to be not great. And when I saw it, I was like, girl, you don't need to be so in your head, because I think she did a great job.
Yeah, I, you know, just filmed a thing with her recently for our Work the World tour. It's Matrix themed this year. Mm. So we were recreating a scene from the movie where one of the characters is talking to Mr. Smith. Of course, I play Mrs. Smith. But the character is talking to Mr. Smith. And so it's kind of a spoof or parody of this scene where they're talking about filler and they're shooting themselves up with needles. Because I filmed the scene twice, once with Sasha at Colby and once with Kahana, because they're kind of each other's opposites. You know, they're switching in and out of the tour together, so they take each other's role. And, you know, Kahana was so good. The way she delivered and the performance was fabulous. So it just kind of reassured me that, like, yeah, exactly. When you're in the competition and everyone's in your ear and you've got story producers and, you know, contestants gunning for you, it's hard to be your best self. Again, that's another reason I don't want to go back to the show, is I know that that atmosphere doesn't produce my best work. I don't do well under extreme pressure. I do well with rehearsals and practice and time to really develop my character and develop my, you know, memorization and role and all of that. So, yeah, definitely give a huge shout out to Kahana. She's super fierce and she's got to give herself more credit.
I hope that she sees, you know, after seeing these episodes, that she actually does have it. Because I do believe when you are in a pressure cooker like that, when you are filming this show for a month, month and a half, whatever it is, and then you're done with it, you don't get to really see the final results. You don't see the final results till they're on TV. So you accepting
Right.
yourself probably takes a long time to, you know, get there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely a journey. And I definitely do think Kahana, feels really good about where she's at and where she ultimately left this episode. I know we were trying to get her on our podcast, but it is very late here. And so I was like, I just cannot ask the doll at midnight to come do this with us. But I can say that, on her behalf, that she, really was feeling a lot of pressure from the fans because she's been in the bottom so many times to leave. And I think that's something that, she really wanted to talk to us about is this like sort of like she was ready to get off because the fans want her off so bad. And I think that that's like really sad. Like I get that we all have our favorites and I get that we're rooting for certain people, but to think that people go out of their way each and every day to remind her like you're in the bottom and you should go home. It's like that's such a bad use of energy. It's like you could be using your energy for so many more positive things than that. And just to know that, like, that's how she felt, again, it's something that I can relate to. I remember feeling that way on season six. And, she was like, honestly, sister, like, I'm happy. She's like, I can finally, like, breathe and, like, be relieved a little bit. And it's like, that's just so crazy to think that we put people through this experience, the experience of RuPaul's Drag Race, and then we sort of, re-traumatize them again when it is live and they go through it. And it's again, I just keep going back to like this is why I wouldn't want to do the show is because it's like it doesn't even end until another year after. And I just feel for Kahana because again, I think she did so good. I totally have been Team Kahana since jump. And to know that there have been other people out there who haven't been like building her up in that same way. Yeah, it just makes me sad because I think she is a superstar, and I hope she continues to see that, believe that, feel that, and ultimately work that.
Well, speaking of work that, oh, another transition. Here we go. What did you think about what had happened to Little Pound Cake? What were your overall thoughts and feelings?
Well, as a crime junkie myself, I thought it was okay. I feel like every episode I just read this show, which I feel so bad for, but Jimbo again was my favorite. I mean, he was just so funny. He was so ridiculous, the character and the weird finger that really stood out to me in my mind. I think Jessica was funny. I mean, I definitely enjoyed moments, but overall, like, I don't really remember a lot about it. It's been several days. I've been on the road. I've been working, so I don't really remember a lot about the challenge. And as someone who loves crime, I think instead of it just being like a parody, they could have gone a lot more dramatic. So we could have seen more of the dramatic acting skills from these girls. But oh, I remember now Lala who wins. She was very funny. I did love Lala. Lala was good. I think Lala did do a great job. And since Jimbo has won so many other challenges, I understand why they gave the win to Lala. But overall, for me, yeah, most memorable was to Jimbo. And I think it's because Jimbo really picked a character that was outside of himself. Not saying Lala is that ridiculous, obviously not, but it felt more similar to her style. It wasn't as much of a stretch where Jimbo playing this like German person, it was like, whoa, like that was a really brave and bold choice that could have ultimately gone really bad.
And I think when you said it, like, you know, Lala was playing maybe like more of an exaggerated version of herself. She did a great job. Whereas Candy was also basically playing herself. And I wasn't really getting it. I was like, Candy, we've seen this in the Snatch Game that you can play yourself and you can play the funny really well. I really just want to see her take a character and make a character different than what herself is. Because she's had two Snatch Games to do it, last or the season that she was on, and then this season, and then this. I'm just like, I want a different Candy. I don't want the same Candy.
Right, a little variation to your candy. I love it.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you want the Sour Patch Kids, and sometimes you want the, you know, the chocolate bar.
I mean, I'm looking at a huge pile of candy over here, so yeah, trust.
Wait. What kind of candy is your favorite? What do you have over there that you're like,
Let me see what I have. Hold on. I thought I was kidding. Okay, so we got some Teddy Grahams with honey. Love. This was actually given to me by one of my buds. They gave me a bunch of different kind of Reese's, naturally. I got the Butterfingers. Love. I got my, I've never tried these, I'm excited, Jolly Rancher Gummies Sour Lemonade Stand. Ooh. So sour cherry lemonade, sour limeade, and sour strawberry. I know, I'm going to try them right now, actually.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
I know, right? Let's see if they're any good. So I'm going to try the lime first. Okay. I mean, they're sour, which I like. I'm very particular when it comes to gummies. Mm-hmm. I really like, you know, Haribo gummy bears. Mm-hmm. Hard. And I like a hard, this is a little too soft for me. Flaming Hot Dorito Cool Ranch.
What?
I know. And then last but certainly not least, we got these really cute cookies from the theater yesterday. This is a picture of me done by my friend Robert Heyman. And, you know, usually these kinds of cookies, like where it's like the icing with the picture, like not very good. It's actually delicious. It's like so sweet and delicious. Yeah. So that's what I have for tonight.
For my candy haul.
Yeah, the candy haul. Totally.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would like to see Candy do some more varieties of candy like you had. You had all different types. You had some Reese's.
I know, they love it. They love it.
So I also thought Jessica Wilde was very funny. I thought that it was hilarious when she got the EBT card wrong and she called it the ETB card when she said that, you know, Lil Pound Cake loved the soft shell tacos and the extra guacamole. She was on it and I was very, very impressed with her. My actual bottom two would have actually been Candy and Alexis Michelle. So I was actually surprised that it was Kahana and Alexis Michelle.
I don't remember Alexis. What did she do?
That's why.
She had a bob on, right?
She had a bob. That's all I remember. Because I remember it came out and I was like, oh, you look really good with the bob. I was like...
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to get into these looks. Miss Fill in the Blank. We got a lot of looks to go through. So we'll be right back.
Let's do it. All right, you guys, we are back with another episode of Queening Out, and it is time to wear it or tear it. Mm. Oh, yes, we are going to be reviewing the looks from episode 7, Miss Fill in the Blank.
Before we get into these looks, I want to know what you would have done. Like, if you were Miss Fill in the Blank, what would your title be? Miss what?
Okay, so first off, I didn't understand this challenge. Or this, like, theme. Like, I don't get it. Like, Miss Fill in the Blank. Like, so it's, like, a Miss America pageant, and you're just supposed to, like, put something else in it?
Yes.
They would have had to really explain this to me, because I just would have been like, I don't get it. Like, what am I supposed to be, Miss Smoky Chimney? Like, I mean, I guess I would have done something.
Laganja, like, that would have been so good. Miss Smoky Chimney.
And just, like, been a chimney with smoke or something.
Yes!
I just didn't understand it. I was like, what? I didn't get it. I was so lost.
It was a choice. I didn't really understand some of the girls' ways of going about things. And I didn't, because I was taking it more in the beauty queen, like, you know, Miss America route. So when some of these girls, like Jessica Wilde, for instance, was like Miss Sausage Fest or whatever, I was kind of confused. I was like, oh, what is the correlation between her and this Miss title? So we had Jessica Wilde with Miss Sausage, I guess it was Miss Sausage's party, carrying a lot of sausages and in a yellow form-fitting dress.
It's a tarot for me, mama.
It's a no all-around tarot.
Tarot.
Miss Kahana Montrese comes out in Miss Tired Showgirl.
The outfit is gorgeous. I mean, I'm obsessed. It is giving emerald green. After Wizard of Oz City, it's got this gorgeous neck piece that drapes down into like a chain mail jeweled arm piece. And then the other arm is like liquid fringe. She's got this very unique and interesting hairstyle on that's giving like wig artistry. I mean, as far as the look goes, it's absolutely a wear it. But nothing about this gave me tired ass showgirl. Like, this is clearly not tired. This is clearly very polished. Mm-hmm. So I didn't, again, why this challenge was confusing me. Because to me, Miss Tired Ass Showgirl would, like, come out with, like, a bedazzled pillow and, like, be asleep. So it's like she's a showgirl, but she's, like, asleep because she's tired. Or, like, the outfit wouldn't be very good. I don't know. I didn't understand the correlation.
I was thinking, too, like, for me, if I were to do Miss Tired Ass Showgirl, I would like have, you know, parts of my outfit kind of like falling off or like a little bit ripped off. Like, you know, you're so tired that like you just were performing week after week after week to where your stuff doesn't look that great. But she looked wonderful. I mean, it's a total wear it, but not for this challenge.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it should have just been Miss Las Vegas Showgirl. I think that would have been like a perfect title for her. Because we already know Miss Kahana is never going to come out looking like a tired ass. I mean, her looks were flawless this season, this one included. So, yeah, again, I think for this, it was just like, okay, well, we put a sash over our beautiful outfit that we wanted to wear and like yawned a bit to like give the whole tired vibe, you know?
Well, next up we have Miss Lala Ree. I still don't know what she's wearing. I've already said this once and I tried to find it on the internet, but she basically was that person that sells the things that are counterfeit. Like Miss, I think she said she was like Miss Bag Lady or something. I have
was
no
it
idea.
Bootleg?
Bootleg? It was close to that.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tarot for me, unfortunately. I just didn't understand it again. And I felt like it was like giving cheap LeMay. I didn't understand these ponytails like on her bag. I didn't like when I think of someone like who's selling stuff, I think of like the trench coat and they open mm-hmm. the trench coat and it's got watches and clocks in it. So this like wasn't really giving me that per se. I think it's a fine look. It's not like a horrible look. I just, for your runway on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, it just feels a little safe to me.
I don't even think it's safe for a runway. Like, I had a costume that I wore for Halloween one time that I ordered off Amazon that looked just like this. And it was, like, the baggy pants and, you know, gold and all of that. Like, it was a style in a moment. It was, like, 80s, 90s. You know, you like, your puffer pants and stuff. But it not for Drag Race. I agree with you there. It's a tarot.
Yeah, like, maybe for, like, a mini challenge, this would have really worked. But I just feel like for the caliber of the show and where we're at now, you know, it's like Kahana just came out dripped in diamonds and then mm-hmm. you're coming out in like a gold LeMay outfit. Like it just doesn't read elevated.
Did you think Candy Muse's look was elevated? Miss Arrogant.
I mean, I loved the hair. The hair was so cool. I loved like all the crowns. But again, I wasn't getting arrogant. And it's like, okay, well, how do you show arrogant in an outfit? I don't really know. That's why I wouldn't have picked it, you know? But, like, I just...
To your point, I felt the same way, too. And then okay. I went and looked on the internet, and I understood now. So when Candy was in her original season, she had the fight with Tamisha Amon and was called Arrogant. And the hair that she was wearing was very similar, but it was, like, laid down. So it was all the balls in the hair. And then her colors that she was wearing were these exact same colors. So I'm guessing that she tried to like up that arrogance. Yes, that reference.
Okay, well, it's still a tarot for me. It's still yeah. a tarot for me. I love the hair though. The hair is so sickening. But again, we're seeing a lot of the same silhouettes on her. Mm-hmm. It's kind of blending in for me. And then these black feathers coming off like kind of blend in with the hair. I thought that was a little odd choice.
I didn't even notice the black feathers till you said that.
Yeah, they're at the top and the bottom of her sash. It didn't work for me. It's not my favorite.
Not my favorite either. Next up, we had Miss Manpig. I was dying at this outfit because the more I looked at it, the more references I got. So she's obviously wearing a gown that is like a jock strap up at the top. She has a glove on because she's ready to fist somebody because she has a red bandana in the back, and a red bandana means fisting. For those who may not know, there's a hanky code. If you're unfamiliar with the hanky code, go look online. It's what people used to do back in the day, put a handkerchief in their pocket that let people know, you know, what they were into. And then I took the bottom of her dress to be like pee.
I thought it was cute.
But yeah, golden showers. Yes. What did you think of this?
It's a wear it for me. I loved it. I thought it was genius. And this was like something that like made me finally go like, oh, that's what this category is. Like you're supposed to fill it in the blank with something that you are, that represents your brand, that represents who you are. I mean, I actually didn't think of Alexis as a man pig. I didn't know she was like a whore. I thought she was like very like monogamous relationships. But judging from this look, it seems like she might have had her, you know, Folsom days. So yeah, I loved it. And I think she really is giving you Miss America with this classic silhouette with the crown in her hair. But then she has all these naughty elements to it that really tie into her title. So yeah, I thought this was executed extremely well, so smart. And like you said, the more I looked at it, the more I found new things that I was like, wow, that's really a genius thought.
This is probably like one of my favorite creative outfits from her. Like it was very like in line with the theme and it showcased her, but at the same time it was gorgeous. So it's a wear it.
It's a wear it for sure.
Miss Tits McGee. What did we think of Miss Tits McGee? Jimbo.
I mean, Jimbo's just a nutcase and I love it. I mean, I do feel like this is similar to like things we've seen. I don't that it's the most imaginative, but I do feel like it is very on brand for her. Her hair is coiffed to perfection. I love the crown. Again, she's playing off of this classic idea of what a Miss America would be, but then adding her own spin onto it. So it is a wear it for me.
100% a wear it. And I also really want to try this breastplate. I feel like I would fall down automatically if I put that on.
Yeah. I feel like I would as well, for sure.
Total wear it for me. And with that, we are done with our main queens. And now we're going to get over into the fame games. The first person that we had up was Miss Monica Beverly Hills as Miss Sunlight on the Skin, which was supposed to be a reference to the acting challenge that she had back in the day on her season where she was sitting in the sun. I get the Bob Mackie reference, but I was not a, it was not a wear it for me.
Yeah. I mean, this is my first time seeing it. So I'm blind reacting here. I do think she looks so pretty. I love the color choice. I love the silhouette. But it feels simple. It feels done before. We've seen this Bob Mackie dress on the runway. I think just recently Lux Noir did it and like literally recreated it to perfection. So it's a tear it for me. I do feel like even the sash is a little underwhelming. Like maybe we could have rhinestoned the sash. Maybe all the letters could have been bigger. And I don't know. It just feels a little homemade.
And you know, I feel bad for her too, because there's a part of me that's like, I know that she was an earlier season. And so when you are an earlier season, you don't necessarily have the gigs and the money in order to be able to go back to an all-star season. And that's why I still think that these girls should be given money to come back on an All-Stars for outfits. Like, give them a cap or give them a budget.
I do have tea on that. They are given money.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It's new. I don't know how many seasons they've been doing that, but they do give them some money.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, when I found that out, I was like, well, thank God they finally started doing that, because that, it makes sense. Now, is it enough money to cover what you would need for the show? Absolutely not. But is it more than what they've ever done? Yeah, for sure. Like, even when I found that, I was like, should I go back? And I was like, no, girl, you're crazy. But, you know, they do. They do provide them with some money for looks.
Next up, we had Miss Nasha Lopez as Miss Shady Lady. So all of the black on her outfit is apparently sunglass lenses. And she came with receipts. Oh, I guess it's all the shady things that have happened on Drag Race. All the words. Not today, Satan. Back rolls. What do you do successfully? Jump in the ocean, don't worry, silicone floats. Yeah, so all things that have been said on Drag Race by somebody that was shady. I didn't like it.
I do. I think this is one of her best looks. I'm like, finally, like, this is creative. She's giving me Miss America. She's got the crown. She's got the body shape. Yeah, I mean, is it executed the best? Is it done the best it could have been? No, but I'm gonna go ahead and say for Nasha, this is one of her best looks. And so, yeah, it's a very, I don't love the clear glasses on the nude bodysuit. I think it would have looked much better had it all been black. But I think the idea was really great here. I love the receipts. It's a great nod to all the other queens. And I mean, yeah, she's giving shade boots.
Well, it's a tear it for me, as a pretty much a wear it from you. The next up, we had Miss Kasha Davis as Miss Senior Sitter, which then ended up ripping away into Miss Ariana Grande. So she was going to be the older version of Ariana Grande. She's had the hair like Ariana Grande in gray. I loved this. It was creative and out
Love
of the
it.
box. I loved it, Miss Kasha Davis.
Yeah, I'm two looks in one. You can't beat that. It's super fun. It's like giving me Golden Girls. And then she's giving us this beautiful silhouette that was on Darien Lake that we wanted to see on her to see how it would look. And it looks beautiful. I love it. I think it looks great. And I'd love to see her in more leotards. She better work.
So it's a wear it from you.
It's a wear it from me.
Next up, we had Miss Darien Lake, who took the prompt to a different level because she is misshapen.
I love it. It's a wear it for me.
Total wear it for me. I love the hair. I love that it just looks like all these different shaped, like of the same fabric. Like I love it. I think she looks great, and I think that she may win the Fame Games.
Yeah, I definitely am rooting for her personally. I mean, obviously, now that Kahana's going to be entering them, I think she has a really good chance since all of her looks have been insane. But yeah, I love this. It's very high fashion in a way, and it also looks like a comfy bathrobe. So I'm like, yeah, I'm here for it. I want to cuddle up in that. I love it. And I love that she's like poking fun at herself, and I think it's very smart.
Well, last up, we had Miss James Mansfield, who was Miss Queen of the Ring, I believe is what she said, because she had the belt. But I don't really get wrestling from this outfit.
I don't either. I'm getting more like boudoir vibes. Like, I don't really actually know if I'm even getting that. I mean, the belt that's in her hand looks super cool, but this isn't giving me wrestler. It's also not giving me like beauty pageant, so it's a tear up for me.
Tear it for me. And that's all the looks that we have for this episode. I
That
think
was
it's
a
like
rough wear or tear
it was a
it.
really rough wear it or tear it, but there were a few good ones. We had our top all-star, which ended up being Miss La La Ri, our lip sync assassin, Georges, came out, and they performed
Looking
to
gorgeous.
About Damn Time by Lizzo. I have thoughts on this performance.
Okay, I can't wait to hear these thoughts.
I gotta be careful on what I say.
Oh.
I don't know if Georges had Botox shortly before this performance, but she was not emoting. And it made it very di like I every single move was there for Georges, but the face just didn't move. And a song by Lizzo about damn time. I was ready for all of like the emotions and everything to come through. La La Ri ended up like I thought she did a great job at it. Georges did a great job, but her face wasn't there. Is it just because she just didn't feel the emotion that day? I don't know, but none of it was moving. So that was my big qualm with it. I was like, you're there, but not there.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely felt La La deserved to win for sure, but I did think Georges looked beautiful. I just was a little surprised because I know Georges to be such an incredible performer, seeing her on the Work the World last year. So I was expecting her to do a little bit more. I can't say that I noticed the face thing, but I also can't say that I remember the lip sync. So, I mean, it was giving very. You look good.
Alexis Michelle and Kahana Montrese were the bottom two, and Kahana ended up being eliminated, and it gave me one of my favorite Alexis Michelle lines ever.
Which was?
Tell me Kahana's going home.
And the person who will be going home this evening is Kahana Montrese.
Oh, Kahana! That was, I was laughing. laughing so hard. I was like, Alexis, I was like, of course Kahana ends up leaving and you make this about yourself. It was so funny. I was laughing so hard. I rewound it so many times just hearing the, oh, Kahana.
That is so funny that you really got tickled like that.
I did.
Well, I am definitely sad to see Kahana go, but I will enjoy seeing her looks in the fame game. And after talking to her, it sounds like she really has made peace with where she's at and everything. And she feels like she really got to show the world where she's at in her life. And so I'm happy she's happy. And, you know, I will miss her on the show, but I'm so excited that I get to work with her for the next month and a half.
Yes. Well, what girls are you working with? I know that you have a lot coming in and out. Like who's going to be your main core?
So right now, the main core for me is Bosco, who I'd never met or worked with before, who's just lovely. We've spent many a night together being trons, so I love her. Lady Camden, who I worked with last year on Work the World, who's just such a delight and such a doll. And, of course, we always talk dance. Mistress is on the tour, who is so much fun. She is wild as hell. And I definitely enjoy being with her because she, you know, loves to read. And so I love to read her right back. And then we've got Kahana, of course. And then we have Asia O'Hara, who's the host, who I've worked with many times, but specifically on Work the World. So, yeah, it's a great core cast. And Deja Sky as well, who I know from Fresno. I knew her years before her being on Drag Race. So it's really nice for us to, like, you know, be on this platform together because I saw her working at her bar, and to see her now and to see her really have built her fan base. I'm just so happy for her because she's such a hard worker and she's so kind, so respectful, and she's actually an amazing dancer. You know, I always think of Deja as being known for her paint skills, but she gets out there and turns it and the audience eats her up like peanut butter. So. Yeah, it's a really fun group, and I'm so grateful because a lot of times there's always like that one girl that you're like, oh, I have to deal with them, or what are they going to be like today? But at least for me, I feel like I'm friends with all the girls and we all get along, and so that's really nice.
Well, guys, that's all the time that we have for queening out. Laganja's microphone just went out, so she's there on the camera, and she'll be saying goodbye to us, but we will not hear her. You can follow us at Laganja Estranja and at Joseph A. Shepherd on social media. I believe that Laganja has a different name on something. If not, you need to look it up. I'm pretty sure it's TikTok. And send us an email at laganjoes@gmail.com, or you can end up calling us at 805-624-5402. That's 805-624-5402. Leave us a voicemail. We love playing them, love hearing what you are getting up to. And make sure to subscribe to our show, rate it in your podcast app. And on this YouTube video, leave us some comments down below. We love those. We love reading them. And we love you reading us. Not really, but at the same time, sure. I'm Joseph Shepherd, and that's Laganja Estranja. And this has been Queening Out.